on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, we're up to the eighth line. So the Gemara says, "Boy, Rabbi Yavin, Trumas Hadesha and Mechama, Mitrumas Ma'isar Yalfin Allah, Omitrumas Midjan Yalfin Allah." So again, still apropos the discussion regarding the Trumas Hadeshen, the Gemara now wants to know how much of the ashes must the Kohen scoop off the Mizbeach to be Yotze. So the Gemara has two potential models. One model is that we derive it from Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser is the Truma that the Levi gives to the Kohen, which would translate into 1/100. Trumas Midjan is the portion that Bnei Yisrael gave of the spoils of Midjan, which would translate into 1/500. So how much of the ashes have to be taken off? So the Gemara says, Tashma de Sani Rabbi Chia, Nemar Kan Vehirim, Nemar Lahalon Vehirim, Ma Lahalon Bekumtso, Av Kan Bekumtso. The Torah uses the word Vehirim by the Trumas Hadeshen, Vehirim. It also uses the word vehirim by the carbon mincha, just as a carbon mincha, the Kohen takes a handful of flour. There is no specific amount. It's a koma, it's a handful. So too, by the Trumas Hadeshen, there is no specific quantity of ashes that are required to be removed from the Mizbeach. Fine. And the Gemara says, Amarav, Arba Avodos, Zar Chayev Alehen Misa, Zrika Vahaktara Venisa Chamayim Venisa Chayayin, Velevi Amar Av Trumas Hadeshen, Vechein Tani Levi Bemas Nisei Av Trumas Hadeshen. The Gemara quotes that a Zar, a non Kohen is chayiv misa for performing certain avodos in the Beis HaMikdash. So the fourth upon which everyone agree is zrika. If you do zrika sadam, if you do the haktara, you actually offer up the ktores, the nisuch hamayim, which of course is done on sukkis, and the nisuch hayayin, the wine libations that accompany many karbanos. A zar is chayiv misa for performing any of those four, and according to Levi, he's also chayiv misa for the trumas hadeshen. So the Gemara asks, my time of Rav. In other words, why does Rav think that the trumas hadeshen is not one of the avodos for which a zar is chayiv Nisa? The Chsiv, the Pasuk says, "Yatov vanecha itecha tishmeru es kuhunaschem l'chol dvar amizbeach ulumibes laparuches va'avatem avodas matana etin es kuhunaschem b'hazarak ariv." You must. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Korach, it says that you and your children, meaning to say the Kohanim, have to guard the kahuna for all matters of the mizbeach within the paroches, and you have to do what's called an avodas matana, an avoda of applying. Right, the word matana in this context means to apply, like applying blood to the mizbeach, and then the Pasuk ends off and says, "V'hazarak ariv." You must. Any non-Kohen who approaches to do the avoda will be chayev misa. So the Gemara explains, avodas matana velo avoda siluk, va'avatam avoda talma velo avoda sheyesh achareha avoda. According to Rav, there are two limitations. There are two cases where a zar is not chayev misa. The first is that it has to be, in other words, in order for a zar to be chayev misa for an avoda, it has to be what's called an avodas matana and not an avoda siluk. That means it has to be an avoda of placing something upon the mizbeach, as opposed to the trumas hadeshen, which is an act of removing something from the Mizbeach. That's the first qualification. The second is that he is a Rav derives from the word va'avatam. It has to be what's called an avodat hama. It has to be the complete, the final act of a certain procedure. So for example, zrikas adam is the final step in the act of the hakravas hakarban, whereas the trumas hadeshen is not necessarily the final step. Then the Gemara says, v'levi rabbi rachmana l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach. So how would Levi respond? In other words, why is it that according to Levi, a zar is chayiv misa for doing the trumas hadeshen? Because the Pasuk uses the phrase l'chol devar ha-mizbeach, for any matter of the mizbeach. According to Levi, that phrase is all inclusive. It includes even things that are an avodah siluk, that are things that involve removing something from the mizbeach. V'rav ha'hula asuye sheva hazo shebifnim v'shebim tzora. Whereas according to Rav, that phrase l'chol devar ha-mizbeach is teaching me a different halacha. It teaches me that when the Kohen does the seven sprinklings of the blood of the par on Yom Kippur, or he does the sprinkling of the oil for the mitzora in the heichal. So if a zar were to do those avodos, he would be chayiv misa. Therefore, Rav does not have a source that the zar is chayiv misa for trumas hadeshen. The Levi nafkale midvar v'chol devar. Levi derives that halacha, namely that a zar is chayiv misa for sprinkling the blood of the par of Yom Kippur or the oil of the mitzora. He derives that from the superfluous vav or the superfluous word v'chol. Instead, in other words, the pasuk could have said devar hamizbeach, but instead it said l'chol devar hamizbeach. So that word kol teaches me that a zar is chayiv misa for those things. V'rav davar v'chol davar lo darish, and Rav disagrees with that drasha. Rav holds that there is nothing to derive from that apparently extra word call. Fine. Then the Gemara says ve'ema l'chol davar hamizbeach klal avodas matana prat klal ufrat in bechlal elamashe beprat avodas matana in avodas siluk lo. Why don't we suggest as follows? Why don't we suggest that the construct of the pasuk in Parshas Korach is set up in a format known as klal uprat, where the pasuk starts out with a general phrase, a general statement, namely l'chol davar hamizbeach. Azar is chayav misa for doing anything related to the mizbeach. that's a general phrase. Then the pasuk has a limiting phrase. It says avudas matana, implying that he's only chayiv misa for an avudas matana, which would lead us to believe that a zar would not be chayiv misa for avudas siluk, for removing something from the mizbeach, namely the trumas hadeshen. To which the Gemara says, no, amar kra ulami beis la paroches va'avatam el mi beis la parochesu da avudas matana velo avudas siluk habachutz afilu avudas siluk. Comes the Gemara with the following almost counterintuitive qualification. The Gemara says that which we said, that a zar is only chayiv misa for something placed on the mizbeach and not removed, that's only true when you're let me based on paroches, when you're outside the paroches, when you're not in the kodesh kadashim, when you're in the heichal, but when you're doing an avodah mamish inside in the mikdash itself, in the heichal, in the kodesh kadashim itself, so then perhaps you can argue that a zar is only chayiv misa for avodas matana, not for avodas siluk. But when the avodah is done outside of that area, maybe he's even chayiv misa for avodas siluk, which would therefore mean potentially he could be chayiv misa even for the trumas hadeshen. So now the next question is, yihachi va'ava tamnami el mi beis la paroches hu da avoda tama velo avoda sheyesh achareha avoda habachutz afilu avoda sheyesh achareha avoda. So now the question is, if that distinction is true, namely that we only say, in other words, we only distinguish between an avoda of placing versus removing when you're within the paroches and you're within the heichal or the kodesh kadashim, but not when you're outside, not when you're in the azara. So perhaps the second halacha that we mentioned earlier, namely that a zar is only chayav misa for doing an avoda tama, doing the final avoda of any given procedure, perhaps that also should only make you chayiv misa when you're michutz la paroches, when you're in the azara, but not when you're within the confines of the heichal or the kodesh kadashim. To which the Gemara says, no, va'avatam hadar arvekra, because the pasuk goes ahead and says the word va'avatam with the vav, that vav connects it and says that a zar is chayiv misa for doing any final stage avoda, no matter where that avoda occurs. So there's actually a distinction between the two halachos that we mentioned in the Gemara, namely the first halacha that a zar is only chayiv misa for avodas matana and not avodas siluk, for placing and not removing from the mizbeach. That distinction is only true when you're within the paroches, when you're within the heichal or the kodesh kadashim, but not in the azara. The second halacha, that a zar is only chayiv misa for doing an avoda tama, a final stage avoda, that's true across the board. That's true everywhere, no matter where the avoda is being performed. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Boy Rava, avoda siluk peheichal mahu lifnim midaminan le ola chutz midaminan le." Now the question is, if a zar does an avoda siluk, he does an act of removal in the heichal. So the question is, what's the status of the heichal? Is it more similar to the Kodesh Kadashim, where we said that a zar is only chayav misa for an avodas matana, not an avodas siluk? Or perhaps we compare it to the azara, to the outside area where a zar would even be chayav misa. So the Gemara says, hadar pashta mi beis ula mi beis. The Gemara answers that we can derive from the superfluous letter vav ula mi beis la paroches that there's a connection between the Kodesh Kadashim and the heichal, and therefore a zar would not be chayav misa for doing an avoda siluk, for removing something from the mizbeach in the heichal. Fine. Then the Gemara asks, Elameata, Zar Shasider Esa Shulchan Lichayav. Let's say a Zar goes ahead, a non-Kohen goes ahead and arranges the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan. So presumably he should be Chayav Misa for that, because that seemingly is a final Avoda. The Gemara says, no, Ika Sidur Bazichen, because following the act of putting the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan is another procedure, namely you have to arrange the Bazichen, the spoonfuls of frankincense that also go on the Shulchan. So the Gemara says, okay, Sidur Bazichen Lichayav. So if a Zar puts the frankincense on the Shulchan, he should be Chayav Misa for that. The Gemara says, no, Ika Siluk Vahaktara, because you have another procedure after that of Siluk Vahaktara. Namely, you have to remove the Bazichin from the Shulchan, and then you have to go out and actually offer it upon the Mizbeach. Okay, so now the Gemara tries a different approach. Zar Shesider Es HaMenorah Lichay. Let's say a Zar arranges the menorah, right? The candles for the menorah, he should be Chayav. So the Gemara says, no, Ika Nesinas Psila, because there's another procedure following it where you have to put the wicks in. The Gemara says, okay, Nasam Psil Lichayav. So if a Zar puts the wicks in, he should be Chayav Misa. The Gemara says, no, Ika Nesina Shemen, because you have to add in the oil. Okay, Nasan Shemen Lichayav. So then you should be Chayav Misa for adding the oil. The Gemara says, no, Ika Hadlaka, because you still have the act of lighting the menorah. The Gemara says, okay, Hidlik Lichayav. So why isn't he Chayav Misa for lighting the menorah? So the Gemara says, no, hadlaka lav avodahi, because the act of lighting the menorah does not qualify as an avodah. The Gemara says, really? Velo, is that true? Vahasanya, v'nasenu b'nei aharon ha-kohen, eish ala mizbeach v'arichu eitzim ala eish, li med al hatzah sasa lisa, shelo tehe ala b'chohen kashir v'chli shareis. The Gemara derives derived from a pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra that says that the sons of Aaron, the Kohanim, are going to place a fire on the Mizbech and they're going to arrange the wood upon the Mizbech, the pyre, the ma'aracha of the Mizbech. We derive from here that when you want to light these chips of wood to ignite a flame, to ignite a fire on the Mizbech, you have to use a regular kosher kohen, and you also have to use the regular clay sharis, the regular utensils that were used in a mikdash. So isn't that an indication that lighting the menorah is in fact a real avoda? The Gemara says no. Hatzotzas alisa avodahi hadlaka lava avodahi. The Gemara says, yeah, lighting those chips of wood to ignite the flame on the mizbech, that's an avoda. But who says that lighting the menorah qualifies as an avoda? Therefore, if a zar were to go ahead and light the menorah, even though it's not supposed to do that, but lemaisa is not going to be chayav misa. So now the Gemara tries again. Elameata zar shesider es ha-ma'aracha lichayav. Let's say a zar arranges the wood on the ma'aracha, on the pyre of the mizbech. Perhaps he should be chayav misa for that. The Gemara says no. Ika sidur shnei zirei etzim, because following the arranging of the regular wood of the pyre on the mizbeach, there's an additional halacha that you also have to arrange what's called the shnei zirei etzim, the two logs of wood on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, sidur shnei zirin lichayav. So if a zar arranges the two logs of wood, he should be chayav misa. The Gemara says no. Ika sidur evarim, because you also have to arrange all the various limbs on the intestine, the innards of the karbanos after they were offered. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ha'amar ravasi amar rabbi yochanan zar shesidur shnei zirei etzim chayav. But didn't Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan say that if a zar arranges the two logs of wood on the mizbeach, he is in fact chayav misa? But how could that be? Didn't we just say that there's another avoda that follows it? And as we already mentioned earlier, a zar can only be chayav misa for doing an avoda tama, for doing a final stage avoda. So the Gemara says, you're right. Baha plige mar sofer avoda tamahi umar sofer lav avoda tamahi. There's actually a machlokes about whether arranging those two logs of wood itself is considered a final stage avoda. In other words, everyone agrees that after you arrange the two logs of wood, the next thing you're supposed to do is to arrange the limbs, the innards of the karban. The only question is that considered to be like the following stage after the two logs of wood, or is that considered to be a completely separate act of avoda? So that's the machlokas in the Gemara. Fine. And the Gemara says Tanya kivasi derav, Tanya kivasi delevi, Tanya kivasi derav avoda shel zar chayav alei amisa zrikas dam being lifnim v'lifnim v'hamaze bechata sof v'hamematze v'hamakter ba'ola sof v'hamenasich shlosha lugin mayim shlosha lugin yayin. Tanya kivasi delevi avoda shel zar chayav alei amisa hamirim esadeshen v'sheva hazos shebifnim v'shebe mitzora v'hamala agabe amizbeach bein davar kosher bein davar pasul. So basically, we have two different brisos that list off various activities for which a zara will be chayav misa. And the distinction is that in Levi's brisa, the brisa mentions trumas adeshen, and Rav's brisa it doesn't. So again, that was the machlokas we had earlier in the Gemara as to whether a zara would be chayav misa for performing the trumas adeshen. Okay. Then the Mishnah said lama mefaisin kedamran el lama mefaisin v'chozen umefaisin. The Gemara wants to know, basically, again, going back to our Mishnah where we mentioned the idea of doing the lottery to decide, you know, basically to divvy up who is going to get which job in the Beis HaMikdash. The question was, why did we have to gather the Kohanim four times a day, multiple times a day, in order to divvy up all the lotteries, in other words, to figure out who was getting which job? Why couldn't we just do everything at one shot? Do one lottery in the morning and figure out who was getting all the jobs for the day at once. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kedei laharigish kol ha'azara, she'ne'emar asher yachtav nam tiksil b'veis alokim nahalech beragesh. We want there to be a commotion in the azar. We want people to realize that something exciting is going on. If you only have one lottery in the morning, you know, maybe people weren't there, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, so you wouldn't have the same impact on people as opposed to if you did these lotteries multiple times during the day. Then the Gemara says, "Bameh mefaisin." What types of clothing were the Kohanim wearing during the lottery? Rav Nachman amar bevig dechol, v'Rav Sheshes amar bevig dekodesh. Machlokas in the Gemara whether they were wearing their regular big day kahuna or were they wearing just regular garments. So the Gemara explains, Rav Nachman amar bevig dechol, dei amar bevig dekodesh, ika bal izros techam seva avdei. So comes the Gemara and says that according to Rav Nachman, they must have been wearing regular clothing. Why? Because if they were wearing big day kahuna, maybe there was a guy there who was stronger than everybody else, who really wanted to do the avodah, and he would basically force his way into doing it. And if anyway he's already wearing the big day kahuna, he has much less of an incentive to not just go ahead and do the avodah himself. So in order to dissuade people from just, you know, basically taking the avodah into their own hands, almost literally, the Gemara says you have to wear big day kahuna. So this way at least there's a process. You have to go change it to put on your big day kahuna first before doing avodah. However, Rav Sheshes Amar Bevig Day Kodesh, Te'i Amar Bevig Day Chol, Agav Chavivuse Mikru Va'avdei. Whereas Rav Sheshes says, no, if you're wearing your regular regular clothing, let's say one of the Kohanim gets this overwhelming desire to go do the Avodah, because he has such a strong desire to do the Avodah, and he may end up doing the Avodah not wearing Big Day Kahuna, which is also a serious problem. So therefore, Rav Sheshet says he has to be wearing the Big Day Kahuna during the lottery. Amar Rav Nachman Ben Ami, the Lord of Nachman says, how do I know that the Kohanim are wearing regular clothing during the lottery? Disnan, Misarin Lachazanin, Vahayu Mashita no Sanas Big Dayan, Belohayu Manichanalan Ella Michnasayim Bilvad, My Lava Osan Shazahu Lipayas. The Mishnah tells us that after the lottery, they would hand over these Kohanim to the attendants, and they would basically make them, you know, strip off their clothing, and all that was left on were the Michnasayim, were their pants. So the Gemara says, presumably, we're talking about those Kohanim who were Zochet to, you know, in other words, the Kohanim who won the lottery. Those Kohanim had to basically strip off their Big Day Chol and then put on Big Day Kodesh. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshet Lo, but Osan Shelo Zachu Lefayas. That Mishnah was talking about the Kohanim who did not win the lottery. And the Gemara says, Hachinami Nistabra, the Isal Kadaitach Ba Osan Shezachu Lefayas, Lo Hayu Manichan Alein Ela Michnasayim Bovad. If you're going to tell me that the Mishnah was talking about those Kohanim who had won the lottery, so then the Mishnah makes no sense, because the Mishnah said that they would, that it basically they would strip off everything except for their pants. The problem is, Vahasanya Minayin Shelo Yehidavar Kodem Lemichnasayim, Talmud Lomar Michnasay Vadiyahu Abisaro. We already pointed out yesterday in the Gemara that the Michnasayim are the first beged that the Kohen that the Kohen has to put on. So the problem is, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about the Kohanim who won the lottery and that they're wearing and that they're wearing Big Day Chol, you're going to run into a problem of them wearing the Michnasayim not as the first garment. So the Gemara says, Vidach. Yeah.
Quick question. Yeah. When you talk about the lottery.
Yeah.
Was this just based on that particular group of Kohanim who had the Avodah for that period of time?
Yeah.
24 Kohanim or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the exact numbers were.
You have to be part of that group.
You have to be part of that mishmar. We know, right? We know that every week there was a new mishmar of Kohanim. So yeah, it was just dependent on whichever.
That mishmar.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So exactly. So the Gemara says v'idach. So how would Rav Sheshet respond to Rav Nachman? Halo kashya hachi katani ad she'odan alein big dechol malbishin osan michnasei kodesh v'hayu mafshitin osan big dechol v'lo hayu manichin ela michnasayim bilvad. Rav Sheshet understands the Mishnah to mean as follows: that while the Kohanim were still wearing their regular clothing, they would start to put on the michnasayim, the pants of the Big Day Kahuna. Then they would take off the rest of their regular clothing, and then they would don the rest of their Big Day Kahuna. So, in other words, essentially, the michnasayim were still the first Big Day Kodesh that they put on, which would not be a violation of the pasuk that we quoted earlier of Yehuah Bisaro, that the michnasayim have to be the first beged of kedusha that they're wearing. Amar Rav Sheshet Menami. Yeah.
We know that there was the mishmar, and it was divided like every day into the families.
Right.
Where did these Kohanim sleep? Did they sleep in the
Mishnayos and Masechet Tumid talk about that, which we learned, I don't know, two years ago at this point. I don't know how long ago it was. But yeah, Mishnayos and Tumid talk about the fact that the Kohanim, first of all, the Kohanim who were doing Avodah were not really, during the Shas Avodah, were not really supposed to be sleeping. The Mishnah talks about a case of the Mamuna. One of the appointed Kohanim would go around and would start beating people up or lighting their clothes on fire and stuff like that if they started to fall asleep in the, you know, when they were on duty. If they weren't on duty, so then I'm sure they had places in Yerushalayim and things for them to sleep. There's a whole discussion in Maseches Tumid about this, about how the Kohanim used the bathroom when they were in the Mikdash, about where they slept. There's a whole, the Mishnayos talk about this at length. Yeah.
If they're sleeping outside, how are they getting there with
you? Again, this is all a Maseches Tumid topic. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about another.
Exactly.
King David,
exactly. Okay. Yeah. Probably. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Sheshet Menu Amin Allah." So now the question is, how does Rav Sheshet know that the Kohanim were wearing the Big Day Kodesh during the lottery? Desanya Lishkas Hagazes Kamin Basilki Gedola Hisa Pius B'Mizracha V'Zakin Yoshe B'Ma'arava V'Hakohanim Ukafin V'Omdin Kamin Kuliar V'Hamamuna B'Venotel Mitznefes Mirosh Shol Echad Mehen V'Yodin Shemi Menu Pius Maschil. So the Gemara says like this: the Mishnah tells us that the Lishkas Hagazes, literally the chamber of hewn stone where the Sanhedrin would sit. So that was like this large basilica, this large room, and the lottery would take place in the eastern portion of the Lishkas Hagazes, and the Zakim, right, who was in charge, would sit on the eastern, would sit on the western portion, and the Kohanim would stand around in a circle that looked like a bracelet, and then the Mamuna, the guy who was in charge of doing the lottery, would come and pull the turban, the mitznefes, off of one of the Kohanim, and then they knew that the lottery started from that particular Kohen. If you're going to tell me that the Kohanim were wearing regular clothing, not Big de kahuna, so why are they wearing a mitznefes? What are they wearing a turban for? The Gemara says, no, in kitasani Rav Yehuda v'yisemer Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, kohen she'asta lo imo ksones, oved ba'avodas yachid. The Gemara says, it's not so crazy. We find precedent for this, actually, the Gemara a little bit later on, that if that certain cases, if the mother of the kohen wanted to make her son the ksones, some kind of the cloak, the outer cloak to wear, so that was okay, so he could do avodas yachid, he could do private avoda with that. So one could argue, maybe the same thing is true for the turban. Maybe this was just a turban that the guy was wearing, even though it wasn't technically a big day kahuna. Amar Abai Shma Mina Lishkas Agazes Chetzia Bakodesh VeChetzia Bachol Ushma Mina Shnei Psachim Hayu La Echad Pasuach Bakodesh VeEchad Pasuach Bachol. So you see two things from here. First of all, the Lishkas Agazes was half in the sanctified part in the Mikdash, and half of it was not. And there were two entrances within it: one that opened to the sanctified part, and one that did not. The Isal Gadaych Kula Bakodesh Zaken Yoshe B'Marava VeHaAmar Mari Yeshiva Ba'Zara Ella Malchay Beis David Bilvad. So if you're going to tell me that the entire Lishkas Agazes was located within the confines of the Mikdash, then how could the Gemara say that the Zakein, that the Kohen, was sitting in the western portion of the Lishkas HaGazes? The Gemara tells us famously that the only people who have the right to sit in the Azara are people from Malchus Beis David. And the Kohen, right, Kohana, by definition, are not from Malchus Beis David, right, because David HaMelech was not a Kohen. So obviously they have no right to sit in the Azara. Then the Gemara says, V'isal kadaita kula b'chol, pious b'mizracha, v'habi'ina b'vesel okim nahalech b'ragash v'leika. On the other hand, the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the whole Lishkas HaGazes was located in the non-sanctified portion of the Mikdash, that's also problematic, because then how could you say that the lottery took place on the eastern portion? Isn't that a violation of the pasuk we quoted earlier, where the pasuk in Tehillim that says "Beves Elokim Nahalech Beragish"? That the whole point of doing all these lotteries was to cause a commotion in the Makom HaMikdash. That's not going to happen if the lottery is happening not in the Makom HaMikdash. It has to happen in the Makom HaMikdash by definition. So the Gemara says you're right. Shma Mina Chetzi Hakodesh VeChetzi Hakol must be the Lishkas HaGazes, who's half and half in the Kodesh and half in the Chol. VeIsal Kadaitach Pesach Echad Yeshla Ufasuach LaKodesh Zaken Yoshev BeMarav. The Gemara says further, if you're going to tell me that there was only one entranceway that led in other words, there was only one doorway that opened up into a sanctified area, how could the Kohen sit in the western portion of Lishkas HaGazes? The Hasnan Halishachos Habenuyos Bachaluf Suchos LaKodesh Tochen Kodesh. The Mishnah Maseches Midos tells us that if I have chambers in the Mikdash that are open to a non-sanctified portion of the Mikdash, I'm sorry. The chambers are built in the non-sanctified portion but are open into the Kodesh, into the sanctified portion. Those chambers have kedusha. The Isal Kadaitach Pasuach Lachal Pious Bemizracha Vahasnan Benuyos Bachodesh. So again, if you're going to tell me that the case was that these chambers opened up into a non-sanctified portion, the Mishnah tells us those chambers do not have kedusha, which again is problematic, because as we just pointed out, the lotteries must happen in the Mikdash itself. So the Gemara says, you're right. It must be there were two doorways that opened up, one into Kodesh, one into Chol, and that's how you were able to have the lottery in the Lishkas HaGazes.